Welcome to the Vital Balance Support Conference Call.
This is Linda Morris, and this is the Vital Balance Conference Call. And today we're going to be talking about different types of protein. I happen to be looking through this pretty fascinating book called Nourishing Traditions, and it's called The Cookbook That Challenges Politically Correct Nutrition and the Diet Dictocrats by Sally Fallon. So proteins are the building blocks of the animal kingdom. The human body assembles and utilizes about 50,000 different proteins to form organs, nerves, muscles, and flesh. Enzymes, the managers and catalysts of all our biochemical processes, are specialized proteins, so are antibodies. And there's a lot of information. I'm not going to read all of it because you guys will be snoozing on this call. So, protein is essential for normal growth, for the formation of hormones, for the process of blood clotting, and for the formation of milk during lactation. Protein helps regulate the acid-alkaline balance of tissues and blood. When protein is lacking in the diet, there's a tendency for the blood and tissues to become either too acidic or too alkaline, depending on the acidity or the alkalinity of the foods we eat. Improper acid-alkaline balance is often a problem among vegetarians. Just as animals' fats are our only source of vitamins A and D and other bodybuilding factors, so also animal protein is our only source of complete protein. The essential amino acids and many considered non-essentials are present in animal proteins. Sources of protein from the vegetable kingdom contain only incomplete protein, that is, they are low in one or more essential amino acids. Even when overall protein content is high, the body must ingest all the essential amino acids in order to use all of them. The two best sources of protein in the vegetable kingdom are beans and cereal grains, but all plant food are low in tryptophan, cysteine, and threonine. Beans, peanuts, and cashews are high in the amino acid lysine, but low in methionine. Cereal grains have the opposite profile. In order to obtain the best possible protein combination from vegetable sources, pulses and grains should be eaten together and combined with at least a small amount of animal protein. Most grain-based cuisines instinctively incorporate this principle. For example, animal products plus corn and beans are staple fare in Mexican cuisine, as are chickpeas and whole wheat in the Middle East and rice and soybean products in Asia. Vegetarianism has recently achieved political correctness, and nutritionists advocating a restriction or complete elimination of animal products garner good reviews in the popular press. Their influence is reflected in the new food pyramid with its emphasis on grains, but the scientific evidence, honestly evaluated, argues against relying too heavily on grains and legumes as sources of protein or for severely reducing animal protein products in the diet. Our primitive ancestors subsisted on a diet composed largely of meat and fat, augmented with vegetables, fruits, seeds, and nuts. Studies of their remains reveal they had excellent bone structure, heavy musculature, and flawless teeth. Agriculture man added milk, grains, and legumes to this diet. These foods allowed him to pursue a more comfortable lifestyle than the hunter-gatherer, but at a price. In his studies of isolated primitive peoples, Dr. Weston Price found that those whose diets consisted largely of grains and legumes, while far healthier than civilized moderns, had nevertheless more cavities than those living primarily on meat and fish. Skulls of prehistoric peoples subsisting almost entirely on vegetable foods have teeth containing cavities and abscesses and show evidence of bone problems and tuberculosis as well. Moving right along, let's see. Inadequate protein intake leads to loss of myocardial muscle and may therefore contribute to coronary heart disease. However, protein cannot be adequately utilized without dietary fats. That is why protein and fats occur together in eggs, milk, fish, and meat. That's why we don't do just egg whites. We do the whole egg, right? A high protein, low fat diet can cause many problems, including too rapid growth and depletion of vitamin A and vitamin D reserves. Studies of Mayan remains lead to interesting conclusions about the long-term effects of a diet devoid of animal products. Archaeologists found that the average male skeleton was about 165 centimeters during the early period of Mayan civilization when meat was readily available. During later periods, the height of the average lower class male declined to 157 centimeters, about the height of the average pygmy. At the same time, the average height of males from the ruling class increased to about 170 centimeters. The lower class subsisted mostly on corn and beans, while the ruling class were able to supplement their diet with small amounts of scarce animal protein. Vegetarians often claim that animal products shorten lifespan, but the most cursory look at long-lived ethnic groups proves that that is not the case. Russians from the Caucasus Mountains, an area famous for longevity, eat lots of fatty meat and whole milk products. Studies of Soviet Georgian populations show that those who have the most meat and fat in their diets live longest. Inhabitants of Vilcabamba in Ecuador, known for longevity, consume a variety of animal foods, including whole milk and fatty pork. The long-lived people in Hunza consume animal protein in the form of high-fat goat milk products. On the other hand, the vegetarian inhabitants of southern India have one of the shortest lifespans in the world. Not only is it difficult to obtain adequate protein in a diet devoid of animal products, but such a diet often leads to deficiencies in many important minerals as well. This is because a largely vegetarian diet lacks the fat-soluble catalysts needed for mineral absorption. Nancy's talking about how unless grains are properly prepared to neutralize phytates, the body may be unable to stimulate the minerals. Zinc, iron, calcium, and other minerals for animal sources are more easily and readily absorbed. Let's see, where was the really interesting stuff? Here, I have it highlighted over here. Careful examination of mammalian physiology and eating habits reveal that none of the higher animals is strictly vegetarian. All primates eat some form of animal food. Gorillas, mistakenly labeled vegetarian, eat insects and larvae that adhere to leaves and fruit. Other primates eat crickets, flies, rodents, small antelope, and other animals. Neither can cattle and other ruminants be labeled strictly vegetarian because they always take in light insect life adhering to the plants they eat. And because their stomachs and intestinal tracts contain enormous amounts of protozoa, these microscopic animals help digest grasses and in turn are digested and utilized by the cow. Only during the present modern age has any group of humans been able to follow a diet strictly free of animal products. In less sanitary times, there are always insect parts in the food supply. Isn't that exciting? Small insects have their larvae or eggs left on food plants prevent B12 deficiency anemia among Hindus in India. Hindus also eat meat, milk products, and some sects consume termites. When these Hindus moved to England, where the food supply is subject to strict sanitary regulations, the incidence of pernicious anemia increased dramatically. A few highly publicized studies have claimed a link between consumption of meat and saturated fats with cancer, especially cancer of the colon. Studies claiming a correlation of animal product consumption with cancer do not stand up to careful scrutiny. In many of these studies, the data bases combine saturated fats from animal sources with hydrogenated vegetable oils known to be carcinogenic. Furthermore, these studies did not include sugar and white flour in their surveys, even though the researchers in Lopez have shown that in so-called civilized countries, high meat consumption and high sugar intake often occur together. Actually, the pathway for colon cancer is well understood. It involves high levels of omega-6, linoleic acid, and hydrogenated fats, which in the presence of carcinogens and acted on by certain enzymes in the cells lining the colon lead to tumor formation. This explains why colon cancer is prevalent in some industrialized countries where there are many carcinogens in the diet and where consumption of vegetable oils and sugar is high. But in traditional societies where sugar and vegetable oils are absent, the food is free of additives, meat eating is not associated with cancer. Diets in which unnatural isolated powder proteins from soy, eggs, or milk are fed to animals or humans cause a negative calcium balance that can lead to osteoporosis. Critics of meat eating have seized on these results to claim that meat causes bone loss. But meat or milk, as opposed to protein powders fed to human subjects, do not cause calcium loss, nor do they contribute to osteoporosis. The healthy meat-eating group studied by West and Price did not show any evidence whatsoever of osteoporosis. In summary, animal products are important sources of bodybuilding elements in the diet. Furthermore, animal fats supply vitamin A and vitamin D, and animal protein is rich in minerals, vitamin B6 and B12. The primitive tribes studied by Dr. Price especially valued certain high vitamin animal products like organ meats, butter, fish, eggs, and shellfish for growing children and for parents of both sexes during the childbearing years. They also ate some animal food raw. We cannot stress too highly that animal protein foods, meat, eggs, and milk always come with fat, and this is how we should eat them. Animal fat supplies vitamins A and D needed for the assimilation of protein. Consumption of low-fat milk products, egg whites, and lean meat can lead to serious deficiencies of these vital fat-soluble nutrients. And there's a whole lot more information on that, but I thought it was just kind of interesting how they were talking about how even the animals in the world that we thought were totally vegetarian, well, they're not because they're eating eggs and insects, which I happen to see on Facebook what Dennis Estes was eating grasshoppers this week, so. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
I'm all for the Western A Price. I'm actually a chapter leader in Midlothian. This is Lisa.
Hi,
I've been practicing Western Price for many years. I also go by Eat Right for Your Blood Type. I'm a type O, and I tried to go vegetarian. And I don't know if any of you were able to take advantage of Ted Aloisio when he used to come through, but he did the microscopy testing.
Yeah.
And he asked me why I was trying to go vegetarian, and I said, well, I heard it was good for me. And he kind of chuckled. And he said, well, didn't you tell me you're a type O? And I said, yeah. And he goes, you're going to have a hard time with that. He said, make a better choice. So I started increasing my protein and decreasing grains, anything that turns to sugar. I'm also hypoglycemic. So it's amazing how much better I feel when I eliminate it. And legumes, like you said, I can't eat a lot of them. Well, I do, but then my body kind of suffers for that, you know, because I don't digest that well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting theory with Western A. Price and what he talked about and the meats that we need. And it's interesting, now when I meet people, you know, in a conversation, we get on to the track of, you know, well, what blood type are you? It's amazing how many O's are vegetarians, and they look sick. You can look at their face, and you can see it in their face. They're gaunt-looking, dark circles. They look hungry. It's fascinating.
It is kind of interesting. I was around it here in St. Petersburg for a couple years, and I did learn how to make some really great soups and root soups, and you know, you use a whole stick of butter, you know, when you're making a big pot of soup, and you just throw all the vegetables in. You just puree it all together, and you can throw all types of different things in together. And how if you were going to do grains, you needed to sprout them the night before so it would be digestible. And
right. Yeah.
Even there was a lot of interesting stuff. It was a little bit too much for me, you know, but
yeah.
Too many rules.
That's what people tell me. That's just too much for me to, you know, understand, Lisa. And I said, well, that's why I research all this, so that I can help you feel better. I had a good friend of mine who, A type, and was, she's a B type. And actually, she got breast cancer, and he told her that it was because of the phytoestrogens that she needed to stop all soy. And he said, you need to eat meat. And she called me one day. She goes, you're going to be so proud of me. I said, why? She goes, because I was so hungry for a hamburger. We have a wonderful place, Burger Bock, and it's all Australian, very grass-fed beef, good sources of beef. And she said, I went and had a hamburger, and it was so good. But describing, and when you eat right for the blood type, your body responds to the food. When you don't eat right, it responds to the food.
Yeah, and usually, though, if you have cancer, they tell you you need to avoid all meat.
Interesting. But see, she was on vegetarian. She was soy, tofu. He said eliminate all of that soy. Get off of that. That is because her breast cancer was traced back to the phytoestrogen. And evidently there was a history as well.
Yeah, I have heard about that. And Barbara was taught a lot about that when she was going through her cancer, breast cancer that she defeated over 10 years ago. I actually remember going to a seminar on raw milk and how raw milk that still contains the lactase and the lactase, which helps your body to actually break down the lactose, and how it was helping so many children that had allergies to overcome allergies was drinking raw milk, and like the pasteurization, and you know, that kills the lactase, which means you can't digest the lactose. It was a 3-hour seminar, and I learned a lot about that. Actually, I was at a health food store in Carrollwood, Florida, this week, and I saw they actually did sell whole gallons of raw milk, and I'm like, wow.
Well, they sell the share to the cow or to the goat. They can't. It's against the law to sell raw milk, and it's a big fight going on between the FDA and raw milk consumption. It is legal to drink raw milk in Virginia, but it is illegal everywhere to sell it.
One thing we have to consider here, I know Roger Drummer has discussed it, is milk. With a human baby, it takes its mother's milk for 6 months. Does it really need it afterwards? That's why the mothers produce milk. It's the same thing with cows. Cows produce milk so that their babies can feed off it. Roger is pretty high on the fact that, do we really need milk after those first 6 months? No, I had a terrible problem when I was a young baby and a young age. I just couldn't take any kind of milk. Had to have some special milk brought in, and it still bothers me today. I don't take milk.
Growing up in Iowa, I was actually, my grandparents had cows, so we had the real raw milk from the cow that hadn't been pasteurized and homogenized and all that. So, Charlie, go ahead.
I went and had my blood tested when I first came down here because I was developing all types of allergies and I didn't know what was going on. And when I had my blood tested, he also told me I'm type O, that I was not digesting my fats. So put me on a program of no milk and no bread and no cheese. But I have a hard time, like you, being an O type, not eating meat. Ramon does not eat beef. She eats lamb and everything else, but does not eat beef. So I have the beef every now and then. I find my body is craving that. So we're putting on a program now of how to digest properly. And the protocol that he put me on is make sure you take one of our digestions before every meal. Make sure you take some apple cider vinegar after the meal. And eliminate the milk. Since I've eliminated the milk, my allergies, and the allergies that we're doing is I was developing a lot of mucus. The mucus was lodging in my throat, and my throat was closing off, which caused me, and it took me 2-3 months to find this, coughing all the time and restricted airways whenever I had cheese, particularly blue cheese. But now that I'm off milk completely, no cheese, and restricted all dairy or anything like that, my allergy's gone away. I don't have a restricted breathing anymore, and my mucus is just fine. So, yes, I think there is some value.
Well, and just to remember, too, that is all, even that type of cheese, it's not raw milk cheese, so it's all been pasteurized and homogenized, so things have been killed, so our body's not able to digest it like it did back in our great-great-grandma's days.
That's the thing that they said about milk, is that before the pasteurization, there is an enzyme that developed in the milk that helps our bodies digest milk. When we pasteurize it, in other words, when we heat it, then we kill that enzyme that helps our body to digest milk. So that's why when you drink raw milk, you can digest it because it has that enzyme in there that helps our body digest it.
Yeah, and that's why on that Vital Balance eating plan, and that the enzyme that's killed is lactase, which helps you to digest the lactose. And that's why on the eating plan, we talk about, if you're going to have cheese, because the cow's milk cheese, it creates that sluggish, not digesting system, to use the real sheep's cheese, or real sheep's feta cheese, goat cheese, buffalo mozzarella, which is from a buffalo, not a cow.
We're
really grateful that, Nikan, their vegetable sources are pretty extraordinary, especially with the chlorella, which is an algae, if you're not familiar with it. Chlorella is 10 times more powerful than wheatgrass. It has 5 times more antioxidants than vitamin E. It provides the essential building blocks for cell reproduction and repair. Chlorella is a whole food supplement, not a concentrate, not an extract, and not synthetic. It's an all-natural, potent detoxifying agent. It is impossible to eat too much chlorella. Chlorella contains more bioaccumulated organic iron. He's texting me like crazy. Can't find my phone to turn it down. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm glad you were talking about the goat milk and the... I'm prior to your chlorella conversation, because I think that makes a big difference for me, because I am an O blood type. I have been vegetarian. I've been known to eat a bite of meat here and there, but I think the goat milk and the raw milk can also give me some more of the things that Lisa was talking about, but it definitely triggered some things to research, right? As well as the soy conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago, where there's a distinction of soy that's fermented or not fermented. So I just wanted to know.
I'll bring you the book. You can borrow it tonight, Barbara.
Thank you.
You may not want to. I highlighted some stuff, but it's kind of fascinating. I'm an O type, blood type, and as we're talking about blood types, and that sounds like another Tuesday conversation. Like one week we might talk about O and A and B and all of those, because every blood type has things that they do best with, and there are always things that they don't digest well. And having been, since I am an O, I know that I don't digest fats and carbohydrates, and that's why Nikan's digestion 420 is so vital, because the 4 stands for it's digesting fats, proteins, carbohydrates, and fiber, and the 20 means there's 20 different enzymes. So the chances are really high that it's going to find a way to digest just about everything you throw at it. And if you throw a lot at it, you need to take 2. And I loved what you said, Charlie, after eating like a heavier meal or meat, or if you're feeling bloated, you do the apple cider vinegar in water, and you drink it, and that helps with the bloating. And would you mind sharing just a little bit more of the specifics, like a tablespoon, or what do you do? What were you told to do, Charlie?
Well, I put a full capful in there. I have a tendency, because I want to digest better, to put a little bit more than a little bit less. And I find that when you first started that, it's it's bitter to the taste, but after that you get used to it. So I put at least a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in about 4 ounces of water.
Okay, and you just drink it. And, yeah, because I remember when I was a little girl, and this is something you do not want to do. That's what my grandma used to do and my mom used to do, and you know how that goes. Is like the baking soda in water. And then Dr. Jim Buse was talking about on one of my mastermind calls, he's like, you don't ever want to do that because you know how that can actually start to grow and ferment and rise. He said you could actually explode your, I can't remember what he said, intestine, your stomach, something really bad. So you never want to do the baking soda and water. You do the apple cider vinegar and water to help with that bloating, that gas, that indigestion, all of that.
It creates a gas when you do that. I remember before my Nikan days, I had a very bad acid reflux, and I couldn't get rid of it. And every now and then, I would take some baking soda, put it in water, and drink that down, and I got used to it. And that got rid of it. But my doctor also told me, and he says, remember that creates gas. If you can burp it, well, then you won't have the problem. But if you ever take that and you can't burp and the gas starts to expand and expand, it's that's going to burst your stomach.
Linda, this is Lisa again. I would muscle test. If you're a type O, it says to avoid apple cider. So, you know, I don't know if that means apple cider vinegar, if that just means apple cider. But I would always
muscle. Is that Lisa?
Yeah.
Is that an O is supposed to avoid?
That's
apple
what,
cider?
Yes, that's what it says for an O type. Yep. But
okay.
Again, it tells me to avoid peanuts, and when I muscle test, my body does this little happy dance. I love peanuts.
Yeah.
So it's a guideline. It's definitely a guideline. I muscle test everything. When I go shopping, I don't even have to touch the food. All I have to do is think of it. And I say, well, my body accepts it. It says yes or no. And I just will keep on walking if it says no.
Good advice.
There's some sources that suggest that eating by your blood type, yes, there's lots to it, but not everything is perfect. And so, like, muscle test and find out what's going to work for you. Everyone is different. Barbara,
yeah.
Being a vegan and being an old, maybe
yeah.
She's working out okay.
Exactly, yeah. Well, and it's also the genotype, which is another interesting thing we might get into one day. I'm hopefully signing up a naturopath this Friday, and she does Eat Right for Your Blood Type. She also talks about the genotype, and she wants to test me for my genotype. She said, you could be a hunter, and that's why you love the peanuts. I don't know, but we're going to find out. Very interesting.
A geno. Haven't heard of a geno.
Yeah, genotype is you're actually something about measuring all parts of like your fingers and I don't know. She's going to actually do this with me on Friday, so I'll let you know what happened. But she said the genotype can be different from the blood type. And together, again, that's why the muscle testing is so crucial, you're finding out what the body will accept and what it will not accept. So your genome, your gene.
Hmm. Okay. That looks interesting. Fascinating information. It goes, I mean, nothing ever is cut and dry. You know, every single person is a little bit different from every other person here on Earth. And some things that it can be really good for some people are not good for other people. Just like a lot of people, just an easy example, I'm allergic to cinnamon. And for some people, they actually tell you if you have a headache to do cinnamon. Well, for me, it'll give me a migraine. So
that's also a no for the O type.
The cinnamon is a no for the blood type, for O?
For an O, yes.
And
no, but
there you go.
I bought cinnamon. So, go figure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also believe that everyone is different at different days, at different moments. Sometimes something might be good for you and other times it might not be.
Absolutely. Just an interesting debate we had today, so that's what it was. More information and remember to muscle test. Yeah. But be happy, above all.
Yes. Happy, healthy, and holy.
Thank you for the participation.
Thank you, Linda.